Welcome to Theology Simply Profound, a podcast of Reformed Forum. This is episode 229.
There are many reasons why we should pray. We need help from the Lord. We long to see other salvations. We are concerned for our own and others' safety and health. Occasionally, the thought of, why should we pray if the Lord already knows our needs, pops into our heads. It's a reasonable question. God is capable of doing all things instantly. Why then should we keep praying, sometimes for years, wondering if the Lord will grant our request when He can give us our desire instantly? I'm not talking about praying for $10 million or a nice sports car. We all have very holy requests that we make that seem to go unanswered. I'm not going to be able to provide the definitive answer to the same question that the people of God have been asking for thousands of years, but I think we all know some of the answers. Our Lord desires us to be dependent on Him for all things, even those that we just can't figure out. We must ask ourselves the question, do we live by faith or do we live by instant sight? Our Lord has a perfect plan, a plan that we should agree with. And I'm sure that all of us are ready to agree with it if we could only see it written out so we wouldn't have to wonder what will happen tomorrow or next month. But the building of faith is a process more wonderful than our need for instant knowledge, and it is wrapped in the mystery of the ordination of God. When we think back to the great things that God has done in our lives over the years, we need to remember that they are made sweeter because we can see the hand of God moving in our lives, even in times when we did not have hope. And now that we can look back and see what God has done, we rebuke ourselves for not trusting in Him more. But it is through these experiences that we learn to trust better in future difficulties. How is this true of Christiana and Mercy? Do we need guides in our daily walk? And what do we do when we fail? We will discuss these and other questions today on Theology Simply Profound.
Well, welcome back to another episode of Theology Simply Profound. I'm Bob Tirillo, pastor of Westminster Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Indian Head Park, Illinois. We're just in the southwest side of Chicago. And with me, as always, is Rob McKenzie. Rob serves as an elder here at Westminster, and he's here with me, as I just said, with me
I
still.
I am here.
Yeah, there he is.
I'm here
right now. Hey, Rob. I know
to most of our listeners, this might be a surprise that we're actually here today.
We're here. Yeah. It's been about a month.
It is. And it's totally my fault. I'm selling my house.
Yes.
And as Bob knows, it has been, quite the ordeal to sell my house.
Yes.
And so Melody and I are going to move to Crete, Illinois.
Yes. Yes. That's an island in Illinois.
Yeah. No, there are islands like Blue Island and Stony Island.
That's true.
And
that's Crete is an island.
It is, but that's not the one I'm moving to. We're moving so we can get closer to Melody's work. So I'm not really moving away or anything. But boy, the home selling process, I tell you, if anybody wants just pure torture, just sell your house.
It's called sanctification, isn't it?
Sanctification. Okay. I'll tell you, reading what the intro, learning through the hand of God as you don't understand what's happening or why it's happening. You know, yes, this was definitely written out of my lovely journey through home selling.
Yes. Not a direction that you would have placed yourself in.
No,
but one that the Lord did, and for your benefit, but... Right. It doesn't feel like it at the moment.
It doesn't. It's a weird thing because we've lived there 18 years, it's been a great house. Mm-hmm. And every time we have people over, this is so cute. Mm-hmm. It's an old Chicago bungalow.
Yeah. Which are really got a great character.
They do.
These homes do. Yeah.
Yeah. And
yours as well.
Stained glass windows. Yes. Very. And everybody that walks in, but then you try to sell it. And, the people walking in are like, you get the feedback on it. It's like, It's just too small. It's just, you know, these rooms are just not, I don't like the rooms. It's like, stop. Well, then go somewhere else. And I mean, we do have an offer and we have,
you know, when you're coming,
somebody is buying it.
When they're coming through, they're meant to be critical so that they don't show enough interest, so that you always wonder, they make, you know, so that maybe you'll lower it a little bit just to, you know, so, you know, it's all a game.
Right.
It doesn't feel like it when you're in the midst of it, but
no,
you know,
so every time we go, so it's, I mean, we always plan to record.
Yeah. Well, but we should. Rob's taken it to himself, but it's not. Last week there was a pastoral issue as well. We were ready to record.
Yes.
And Rob was probably about to get in the van to get over to my place. It was that close.
I was.
And an immediate emergent pastoral situation came up, and I had to go. And the Lord. That's the way he works sometimes. And so that's why we missed another one. And these are the things that we're about. This is a side part of our ministry. This is not the full brunt of it.
But we love doing it.
Yeah, we have fun. We have fun.
I've been sad that we every week it's something just keeps coming up. And it's not like we only record on one day. There's other days that we might try to record, but something always happens.
Right, right.
And the really strange thing is that over the last month, we've had more likes on Facebook than.
when we don't record, you like us better. Record. Is that it, everybody?
I'm not trying to think that.
But you know, we're going to have to, we probably should think about this off air before I mention it on air, but I'm not.
Yeah.
When you move to Crete.
Yeah.
It's
a little further away.
Yeah, we have always recorded in person. And so I wonder if we're going to have to record.
We'll have to try it sometime. But I'm not going, it's not that far. I'm not going to the real Crete.
No, but it's a distance.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is. My plan is to still come and record. But,
okay, all right.
But yeah, we might have to do a couple. We probably should have done that, you know, a long time ago. But well, that's actually why, you know, people have absolutely, we've had some guests on before, and people have asked us, you know, if we were to have more. And actually part of the reason why we don't have more guests on is because we can't get the record thing to work.
Well, yeah, it doesn't work smoothly. At least it didn't in the past. We have some new technology that we've had for a while that should make it easier.
Yeah.
And now everyone's familiar with Zoom, so we could, and we have account for it, so we should be able to do it that way.
Right.
With our hardware and the software that we have. We shouldn't have an issue, but there's a dynamic.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you introduce a show without walking the gauntlet through, you know, Tippy, the Beast, sorry, I gave her a real name.
That's true.
The Beast, or with, you know, things going on in the house. Right now we have one of our members is a painter, and he's painting our living room. And so if you hear things in the background, dropping of paint everywhere, no, that wouldn't happen. You know, there's some other things going on in the house at the moment.
Too. I came in and
greeted by
Ed McHugh is up there painting, a professional painter, and he does a lot of it. But it's not, you're actually getting the upper story of your estate done. This is not just
of our estate.
You say that you're getting like a room painted, but it's much more than that. You're getting things sanded, your mantle to that huge giant fireplace you have up there, where you could roast a
pig in there,
right on a spit, and it's just huge. And then, of course,
everyone has in their mind right now the
and what he's doing. He's going down the corridor of the, so there's the great room, the giant fireplace, and the corridor that he's working on.
Don't believe a word Rob is saying right now.
Incredible. It's all true. It's all true. Well, that's why you have
a living room and a hallway.
That's
and,
why you have a mythical beast as your pet. it just goes with your estate.
I'm thinking right now of goodness. I just went blank with regard to this famous movie that Orson Welles is in.
War of the Worlds?
No,
he did the radio program.
That was a radio program. Rosebud.
Citizen Kane.
Citizen Kane, thank you. I'm thinking there's some scenes in there with a giant fireplace.
Right.
And that's what everyone has in their image of their mind right now. Well, that is not it.
Right. It's just, yours is bigger.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. So this thing has been half scraped off of white paint for 8 years.
Right.
So
it took him 8 years to scrape off the paint from your fireplace because it's so big.
No, I just haven't been able to do it. So we got a professional to finally do it. And now it looks wonderful. It's been all scraped off and it's going to get stained. So it's not white. Mm-hmm. Who paints wood white when it's a beautiful birch wood? Anyway, And now it's going to be stained, and Lord willing, it will look absolutely beautiful. Centerpiece of that.
Of your great room.
Of our great room, yeah. And we'll have to walk down the corridor. It'll take about an hour to walk from one side to the other. Yeah, all right.
And tissues.
I think everybody's ready to move on from this hyperbole.
Probably. And that's part of the reason. Because I love what the series we're in with Christiana and
me too.
Pilgrim's Progress Part 2. And that's what, it's part of the reason why I'm so sad that we've missed the last week. So I really am sorry. It's but my house will eventually get sold. We left Christiana.
Rob just muttered that out. He just muttered that out. Pray that his house will sell. Okay.
We have a buyer right now, but it's
been a bumpy road, and you know, he's apologizing. He doesn't need to. These things are outside of his control, but pray that the Lord would smoothly bring these things to a close for them.
So we had left. Okay. We left Christiana and Mercy and the boys. We left them to. They'd finally gotten through the gate, and they're on their way to Interpreter's house. That's where they're going, and they start walking down the road. You know, here's the path, and several things happen. Not very good things actually happen right away, and it's interesting. I kind of wish that Bunyan had actually expanded this part and told us a little bit more of what he was thinking. He tells us his main points, because that's really what Bunyan is usually concerned about, is here are the main points that you should take away from this. But he brings in some really interesting imagery and some scandalous behavior that's going to happen. And it's just, I wish he had just kind of fleshed it out a little more. I think you want to read a section here.
I found this interesting and surprising. On the side, you know how there's all these little comments along the side that help us along with the book. Mm-hmm. This is titled "They Assault Christiana," right? Mm-hmm. And so you have things going on with the kids, the boys. And there's a temptation that happens almost, it was reminiscent of Augustine's Confessions, with him going off and picking the fruit off of the neighbor's, or I don't know if it was a neighbor, I can't remember, tree that didn't belong to him, and then the guilt he felt afterward. But here the boys go and eat some fruit that was hanging.
Right, it's hanging over the wall.
Right.
So it is, they didn't go outside.
Correct.
It is hanging over the wall, but it is fruit from the trees of the evil one.
Right.
And Christiana, I think she fails here as a prince. This is what I think Bunyan's kind of trying to bring this out.
This is what you're hoping
she's
for more.
Failing.
Here.
Okay. That part of it. I mean, the whole section, it would have been nice if he had fleshed it out a little more. But she knows they shouldn't be eating this fruit. She kind of tells them, hey, you shouldn't eat that. But they still are.
Well, let me read that then. And you comment, because I'd like to hear more of what you have to think about that. On the side here, it's described as the devil's garden. Now, there was on the other side of the wall that fenced in the way up with Christiana and her companions, as was to go, a garden. And that garden belonged to him whose was that barking dog, of whom mention was made before. And some of the fruit trees that grew in that garden shot their branches over the wall, and being mellow, they that found them did gather them up and oft eat of them to their hurt. So Christiana's boys, as boys are apt to do, being pleased with the trees and with the fruit that did hang thereon, did plash them and began to eat. Their mother did also chide them for so doing, but still the boys went on. Well, said she, my sons, you transgress, for that fruit is none of ours. But she did not know that they did belong to the enemy. I'll warrant you, if she had, she would have been ready to die for fear. But that passed, and they went on their way. Now, by that they were gone about two bows shot from the place that let them into the way. They espied two very ill-favored ones coming down apace to meet them. Okay, so that's the transition into the next scene. But tell me why you thought that Christiana was failing there.
I think the failure, I think, is that the boys start to eat them, and she tells them, "Look, those aren't ours. Those, you know, you're stealing. Mm-hmm. Don't eat those." But they still keep doing it.
Yeah, that is interesting. But the boys still went on.
Right. So
yeah.
So I mean, of course, the boys are not listening to their mother. So that's obviously sin, and mm-hmm. they're and it's one thing for them to be in the path and have this fruit hang over, and them start to eat it, and not think that they're stealing. You know, mm-hmm. okay, the fruit's it's hanging over, it's in trees, but then when the mother says, "Don't eat that, it's not ours." Now, but they kept eating.
Yeah.
Now they're not only eating fruit that they aren't sure about, but now they to them they know they're stealing because mm-hmm. their mother has told them that. So they're not listening to their mother. They're eating stolen fruit. And of course, there's this backdrop that Bunyan gives us. He tells the reader, but he doesn't. Christiana doesn't know that yeah. not only is this fruit they shouldn't eat, but it comes from the evil one.
Yeah. What's interesting to me is that that she doesn't know that it comes because it's on the other side of the wall, and right. that's where the barking dog is. So right. it's strange to me. I would have assumed she would have
right.
assumed it was from the enemy.
Right.
But Bunyan specifically says she doesn't know.
I think, mm-hmm. and again, this is
speculation on your part, but
Bunyan had been yeah. a little more clear. But I think it's because it's going to get into what's going to happen in a few minutes or mm-hmm. in the next section.
Okay.
And eventually to the point where they should have asked for a guide. And if they had a guide, the guide would have been able to tell her that is from the evil one. And so I think maybe he's setting that up to a degree that he's kind of laying a foundation for the many reasons why it would have been good for them to have had a guide. Mm-hmm. And yet, you know, again, it's a strange, part of the story, boys eating this fruit,
sure,
and her not knowing where it comes from, but them continuing.
Let me ask you this: yeah. The idea of a guide. Where are you getting that from? Is it something she gets later?
Later,
okay. So yeah. a guide comes in later into the storyline.
Well, yes, but she's told that she should have asked for a guide before she left.
I see. Okay,
and I think maybe this is also part of the reason why she should have. If she had had a guide, he would have known. Mm-hmm. That it was from there.
Sure. How would she have known to ask for a guide?
Well, that's something that we're getting into okay. a little bit later.
All right.
There's an answer to that.
Yeah. So there's the first challenge,
yeah.
Which is a challenge as we can see it, but it doesn't right. seem to be a great challenge to her and
right.
the boys at this point. Go ahead.
I had said that I think Christiana fails here, and I still do, because she says to them, "Don't eat that. It's stealing." Mm-hmm. Although she'd known that it was from the devil's own garden, mm-hmm. she would have been horrified. But her children keep eating it. Mm-hmm. And as a parent, if you look, you know, the proverbial hand, the cookie jar. So you go up and you see your kid, the cookie jar in on their lap and the lid off and their hand in there and a cookie in their mouth. And you look at them and say, "I don't want you eating cookies now. You need to stop." And they look at you and they keep eating. Yeah, and then you walk away. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not very good parenting.
No.
So
I agree on that.
Yeah, and I wonder. but again, it's
yeah.
these subtle things that Bunyan drops in that there's a lot more going on here. That Christiana fails, that the children disobey. But Bunyan really, it's like an afterthought to really expound on it.
Sure. Well, could there be a sense, right? She's a new believer.
Sure.
Right? And I know when I was a new believer, I was ignorant of a lot of things. Doesn't make me mm-hmm. any less responsible. Mm-hmm. But if she's considered a new believer here and she's just bringing up her boys as a new believer, she right. might not know how or what to do. To care for them and to properly discipline them to keep them from the enemy at this point.
That's a good point. It's possible.
I mean, it's all speculation because it's not put here. But
right. Well, I think
I don't know.
If we're making an application to parenting and, mm-hmm. and even to society, it very well could be. Remember, Bunyan's a pastor.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. He's looking at, and we know that within his church, there actually were a lot of women. With either husbands that were not Christians or didn't have husbands. Mm-hmm. And so he knew a lot of women who were trying to bring up their children pretty much by themselves. And it shows you that parenting was the same then as today. Kids don't listen.
Right, right. Honor your parents in the Lord. That's like a forever thing.
Right.
And needful.
It is when you have to tell your child for the 37th time to stop doing something, you kind of feel like, why even bother?
There's a tiredness that comes to parenting at times. You know, that's why they always say the last child or the third child gets less discipline than the first one.
Down.
Right. Yeah. Parents are usually older, and with that comes spiritual tiredness and lack of their own diligence in those things. Yeah. Sorry, daughter. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, but it's just interesting here that today, I think a message that can be understood from this is that we have to keep disciplining children. That we can't give up. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is very detrimental to the boys. That the fact, or at least that's what. See, again, he doesn't expound. I wish he had. Mm-hmm. But this is horrible. This is much worse than the boys know. This is much worse than Christiana knows. They're actually taking in nourishment from the evil one. And if, as Christiana, if she had been a little more strict, keeping her boys from continuing to eat, then they wouldn't have been doing that.
Mm-hmm, right.
If she had just known, then she would have been more ardent in her discipline of her children.
Right. And I think that goes a long way with the symbolism that comes throughout Pilgrim's Progress, mm-hmm. right? Where food along the way is that thing that sustains you in your spiritual walk. And if the boys are being sustained by the evil one for their spiritual walk, then, you know, that goes a long way. I've been saying how much I've enjoyed this part, this time reading through, but I don't remember, how much the boys come into it later, if there's more comment on the boys and their continued walk. So that might be something just to keep our eye on as we make our way through.
Right. We can see if he references this place.
Like I said, I don't remember. You don't have to remember either. This leads up to them walking along and two men coming along who are described as the ill-favored ones. What happens here?
It's interesting that they're on the road.
Yeah.
I mean, we know they are definitely not pilgrims. Mm-hmm. They're definitely not believers, not moral people, or not unbelievers who are moral. But they're on the road, which I find fascinating. And even in part one, I always thought it was interesting how many non-Christians were actually on the road. Mm-hmm. So if you watch the Derek Thomas video, he talks about how they're walking on the road and these two men come out to rape them, which was a very real danger, especially at that time. Women, you didn't take a bus or a plane or a car. You usually walked places, and if there was two young women with children with them, then they're vulnerable.
Yeah.
And but I think there might be a little hint of not just that the men are gonna just grab them, rape them, but that maybe even an enticement to actually stay with them and kind of not marriage or anything like that. And because there's a certain place where it talks about the men say, grant us this request.
Right. And that we will make women of you forever.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. So come live with us. Mm-hmm. And, but again, marriage is not there. And Christiana is thinking, I think I know exactly what you want.
Right. Right. So you're saying there could be an underlying sense in which the men are offering themselves like, sex for favors or something like that. And long term,
we'll give you security. Right. Cause you say forever.
Yeah.
We'll give you security. We'll give you a home. We'll give you food. We'll give you, whatever you need.
Right.
And you give us what we want.
Yeah. I see. Mm-hmm.
And again, it's, you go back to the fruit. It's easy. That fruit's just hanging over the wall. It's really easy to get. And yet we know more than they know that was from the devil's own garden. And now the temptation comes that, hey, come and give yourself to us willingly, and we'll take care of you. forever.
Right. And but you get, then you hear Christiana's immediate response
and then their immediate response to Christiana is, well, we're going to take you anyway. I mean,
right. Right. Know, so you see that there is a violence in their heart, toward them and, a desire to take what they want, whether it's willing or not.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. They'd kind of like, it'd be nice if it was willing, but you know, that doesn't really,
that doesn't stop us. Yeah. Yeah. And that's evil. Right. That is wicked. And so they cry murder, murder. And this is a very interesting point, I think, that Bunyan puts in there, because it's a very different way of, at least our culture thinks today about the relationship between men and women, even if our culture thinks that there's a distinction between men and women. Mm-hmm. And that is that, and so put themselves under those laws that are provided for the protection of women. But the men still made their approach upon them with design to prevail against them. They therefore cried out again, right? So they cried murder, murder, putting themselves under the law, which is interesting, right? I mean, that's not something we think of, right? There, we see when a woman cries out, yes, there should be a rush to help, right? Mm-hmm. But it's not a universal thing anymore for people to rush to help someone else, let alone a woman. It should be. It should be a desire for people to help one another when you hear a troubling sound. But it's just not as much today.
Yeah, I think it can be the car alarm in the parking lot.
Yeah,
kind of thing. Where if there's somebody breaking into a car and there's an alarm going off, how would you really know? Since whenever you're in a parking lot, your car alarm's
going off. Right, right.
And we've become distilled. Or desensitized.
Desensitized. I think you're saying, yeah. But also cautious because. Yeah. I can't remember what it was. I remember watching a movie one time, right? And you hear guys walking down the street, hears a woman crying out, he runs to help the woman. Woman ends up being in on it with the guys, right? Yeah. And then they rob the guy who came to help, right? So you have a cautiousness about problems, right? Because our imaginations go variety. Am I about to be suckered into something? Is someone about to take advantage of me? Am I being played? You know, am I going to be a good Samaritan that then gets sued for accidentally hurting something? Sure. I mean, there's so many things that go through people's minds today where the idea is for us to want to help. And yet help is sometimes put against us.
I think that there is an instinct in most people to help others. Mm-hmm. And yet you're absolutely right that in our society, we're such a litigious society that you hear all the time about people who help somebody and then get sued or something like that. So there is that, you know, do we, and I guess we come back to what is our command from Christ.
Yeah.
And it is to help people. Mm-hmm. And while we need to be cautious, like you're saying, we're, you know, maybe a scam or something like that, we should use good judgment.
Yeah.
But we help people, and if we're sued because of it, well, that's in the Lord's hands as well.
I mean, right. Yeah. You work through it.
Yeah.
You don't like it, of course, but you work through it.
Right. So Christiana and Mercy here, they're about to be, you know, raped, and so they do what they can. They cry out for help, and this scares the men off, and the men are scared off, and they go back. The men go back over the wall, which again, it's interesting that you have this fruit that's coming in into the road. You have these men that come in over the road. It shows us in the Christian life.
Yeah,
we have dangers and temptations, and when within the church, even I mean, we go to church and we think, oh, well, this is a safe place. I'm not going to be tempted to sin. No, it's there too. The devil seeks us out in the place of worship in order to tempt us and bring us away from Christ.
Yeah, and see, it's hard to get, we need to have our imaginations work through this, right? Because we know there's a wall there. We know there's fruit hanging over the wall. We know there's a path, and there's people walking along the path, and they're, Christiana, Mercy, and her boys are then, the boys went ahead a little bit. And then these two ruffians come apart. That's how they're described later. These ill-favored ones. And so what you have is this sense that the world encroaches in on our Christian walk, right? Mm-hmm. And we can't escape that. that is a part of the nature of walking in this world. Yes, there's a path for believers. There's a path for pilgrims to take. It's a path that we know that's lined out for us in Scripture. But that doesn't mean that God will not allow people to come over the fence or over the wall, so to speak, and that there won't be tantalizing things, things that are sweet and good to eat, that we think will nourish us, things that we think will be good for us as the boys. Even when they're pointed out to be stolen fruit, they still taste good, so I'm going to eat some of it, right? Yeah. Christiana and Mercy knew better to, and they understand who these men are not, do not have their best in mind, and so they turn away from them and they cry out, and they I just want to, again, I'm reading a lot, I hope that's okay, because it refers to transgressions and such, and I think that's helpful, as did it previous with the boys. She says that you transgress, my sons, for that fruit is not ours. She doesn't know the full nature of it, but she knows it's stolen. So after they cry out, we hear, now they being, as I said, not far from the gate, in at which they came, their voice was heard from where they was thither. Wherefore, some of the house came out. So there's people around, right? Some of the house came out, and knowing that it was Christiana's tongue, they made haste to her relief. But by that, they was got within sight of them. The women were in a very great scuffle. The children also stood crying by. Then did he that came in for their relief call out to the ruffian, saying, what is that thing you do? Would you make my Lord's people to transgress? He also attempted to take them, but they did make their escape over the wall into the garden of the man to whom the great dog belonged. So the dog became their protector. This reliever then came up to the women and asked them how they did. So they answered, we thank thy prince pretty well. Only we have been somewhat affrighted. We thank thee also for that thou camest into our help, for otherwise we had been overcome. So here you learn that the men didn't just go away because of the screaming. There was a scuffle. There was a fight going on here. And as the reliever comes out to help, he scares them off and yells at them and to help them. And the men run off and flee, and we find out that the dog is their protector.
Right, which is interesting, because is this with the guy that came out of the house, is he going to go over the wall after him?
Doesn't appear to be.
but the dog becomes their protector.
Yes.
It is interesting how that works out. It's this is where up until now we've been able to, I think most people be like, oh, okay, you know, this is going on. Yeah, this happens. These women were assaulted. And this guy came out to, the people come in, not just one guy, actually several people come out from the house. Mm-hmm. But now we're going to get into stepping on some feminist toes.
Oh, are we?
I think, well, Bunny does.
why is that?
Well, the women are actually, chastised, well, especially Christiana. She's the leader and she's chastised for, going on the road without a guide, but being without a protector, bringing one with him,
and which is essentially you're saying, Bunyan's suggestion is without a man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a spiritual aspect here as well. I think that maybe this not just a man, but maybe a pastor, because again, Bunyan, everything's allegory. So I think there might be something, you know, because this is a spiritual journey that's actually happening, and what did Christiana do? So she didn't parent very well, and her boys were sinning, and they almost were taken into sin. And now they're chastised for not bringing a guide. I mean, specifically, I mean, they could have said, you know, you could have brought a bodyguard, or you could have, you know, brought a protector.
Sure,
but he says, specifically says guide.
Now I'm reading conductor. Mine says conductor.
Okay.
Right after it says, so after a few more words, this reliever said as followeth, I marveled much when you was entertained at the gate above, being ye knew that ye were but weak women, that you petitioned not the Lord there for a conductor. Then might you have avoided these troubles and dangers, for he would have granted you one.
Right. Yeah, and I'm seeing that kind of, if you look with kind of a medieval, or I keep saying medieval, but it's, you know, the
post-Reformation. That time period. Yeah.
Well, because Bunyan actually, in his writing, was actually using more medieval than he was. Mm-hmm.
Well, as he's, as, you know, right. Luther's often referred to as a medieval man, the last of the medievals.
Right.
So, yeah. Which is close.
But conductor, I'm seeing that more as a guide than a bodyguard.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
Somebody that can guide them, conduct them, mm-hmm. bring them. That this is more about a guide. Anyway, so that's why I was using that word.
Okay.
But yeah, and specifically Bunyan saying, you're weak women. Mm-hmm. That's not going to sit too well with a lot of people in our society.
Yeah, and you don't actually, let me just be clear, you don't have to be a feminist for that to not sit well, right? I mean, you can have women in your congregation now who aren't necessarily women or necessarily feminists who just don't want to be called weak women.
Right,
right. Right. Yeah. So, or feel the need to have a man walk beside them throughout their Christian life. I mean, there are women who are called to singleness just as there are for men.
Right. But if we look at this as
a pastor.
Yeah,
that works. A spiritual guide.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting that Bunyan, and again, Derek Thomas brings this out very well, that a lot of his church was mostly women. Mm-hmm. And here
which is an interesting point. So, yeah.
And in his book, he's saying, mm-hmm. you know, you're weak women mm-hmm. and you shouldn't try to make your spiritual journey mm-hmm. without a pastor.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the language that Paul uses in 2 Timothy with regard mm-hmm. to, you know, women falling away to false teachers as well.
Right.
So it's language that we don't hear very often today because of, egalitarianism mm-hmm. and so on and so forth that puts men and women at all levels and all offices at equal, but you know, Reformed and Presbyterian, we have male officers only as spiritual leaders in the church. So,
yeah, and I mean, just I know we don't want to get into the huge brevity of this subject, but I mean, there are many women who are theologically astute that are you know, very intelligent. Mm-hmm. Just as there are men that are theologically astute, very intelligent, there is an equality between men and women when it comes to these things.
Well, absolutely.
But we believe Scripture has given us men to be in the offices, mm-hmm. and as any parishioner, they're being guided by the officers. So this isn't something that should make
be an affront,
or
offend,
or be something that's like. Well, I don't know when this developed, but it's something that we should get rid of. No, this is something actually that the church has had for 2,000 years, mm-hmm. And it's scripturally based.
Yes.
If any man looks at this and says, well, therefore women are not intelligent or they're stupid or they're not able to understand spiritual things, well, they're sinning. Because you don't look upon your fellow believers as that, because it's just not true. And I think that's part of the problem that we've had in the church is that there's been some men who have sinned against women in this way, mm-hmm. and they truly have sinned. And there's some women who have hated the fact that God has set it up that there are men in the offices. And so it is our lack of care for Scripture that we treat our fellow Christians as equals, and that we are willing to accept the ordination of God mm-hmm. in any way that He has ordained. And this can be a problem for both men and women.
Yeah, and not to belabor the point, but it's simply excuse me. It's simply a matter of fact that we've sort of done the pendulum thing throughout the years, right? We swing from one side to another. And a lot of times as well that cultural expectations come into the church in such a way that they influence how the church behaves mm-hmm. in ways that it shouldn't, in ways that are at odds with Scripture. So the culture sort of manifests itself in the context of the church instead of the church being a heavenly entity on earth, which is meant to influence the culture instead of the culture influencing it. So the worldliness of the coming in into the church and it being the deciding factor instead of the other way around. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that happens too.
So that, the question is then, I mean, look at all the dangers. Look at what almost happened to the women on the way. Why didn't God just give him a guide?
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, thankfully, Christiana asked the same question, but not really asking it, expecting an answer. I think she has the answer for herself when she says, we were so taken with our present blessing, coming through the gate, that is, that dangers to come were forgotten by us. Besides, who could have thought that so near the king's palace there should have lurked such naughty ones? Indeed, it had been well for us, had we asked our Lord for one. But since our Lord knew 'twould be for our profit, I wonder he sent not one along with us. So she's saying, okay, we just went through that scrape with these naughty ones. just a straight. We don't use that language with regard to men who are about to do such violence. Yeah.
And that's back to the children taking the cookies.
That's what you'd think would naughty. Yeah. And she says, well, the Lord knew it would be profitable for them to go through it.
Right.
Now, it's usually, again, that's when we see that after the fact,
right,
not in the midst of it. So she says, I wonder if that's why he didn't provide one for us, because he knew that going through this, the children and these men, that it would be good for us. Then Reliever says, it's not always necessary to grant things not asked for, lest by so doing they become of little esteem. But when the want of a thing is felt, it then comes under, in the eyes of him that feels it, that estimate that properly is its due, and so consequently will be hereafter used. Had my Lord granted you a conductor, you would not neither so have bewailed that oversight of yours in not asking for one, as now you have occasion to do. So all things work for good and tend to make you more wary. All right, so not asking one, now you learned, having gone through that, that you need to ask.
Right.
That you need to ask prior to going through a long journey, prior to doing this or doing that. Ask the Lord, and he will provide according to your need. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, references there to Romans 8, right? So all things work for good and tend to make you more wary. Yeah. Careful.
Right. So if we knew all the things that God had planned for us, we wouldn't be on our knees praying for the things that we need.
Mm-hmm.
And if we, and in this case, they're saying if you hadn't gone through these trials, then you wouldn't have learned about these types of things.
You know,
in one sense, Christiana is going to be a better parent because she's going to be more weary about these things that are coming over the wall, and she's going to hopefully discipline her children better. And they're also going to they're going to look to a guide. They're going to ask for a guide. They're going to desire that spiritual leader to be with them. To help them along the way.
Yeah.
It was something they weren't against it. It's not like before they left, they were against it or anything. It just didn't come in their head to ask. And I think it's mercy that says, we were on the king's road.
Right.
We didn't think that any bad thing could happen to us. Well, now they know that many bad things can happen in your life, even as a Christian, many bad things can happen. And we need that spiritual leader within our lives to help us navigate.
Yeah, they are on the road and they have bad things happen to them, and having it happen to them early on, that, you know, they were ecstatic with the blessing, right? And then all of a sudden, boom, something bad happens. What, you know, that can knock you off your horse, so to speak.
Yeah.
And the Lord is saying to them here through the reliever now that, okay, this is why you go to God. This is why you go to him and you ask for his blessing. You ask for his ongoing guidance or conductor. You ask for someone to help you along the way, right? You ask the Lord for his blessing of help. And because guess what? This isn't going to be the only time that bad things happen along the way. There's going to be more that come along the way, right? We're still close to the world. We're still close to the owner of the dog, his wall, right? So there's still going to be fruit hanging over it. You have to make sure your kids don't go after it, right? There's still going to be men who come about on the way, and you have to be wary of them. You have to ask God's blessing of wisdom of how to walk on this path, because the world is always encroaching in on it.
So it's one thing that I find interesting here is that now, so Christiana, first of all, Christiana, she takes all this on herself. She's the leader, mm-hmm. and she's saying, you know, she understands this is my fault. They're ready to ask for a guide. Now they want the conductor. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because they're not given one, except that when they're in need of one, one will come. And so it shows you again that it was much more about them realizing that they needed
the realization of a need.
Yeah. Instead of the fulfillment of the need. So they are going to be given the conductor when they need it, but they don't, you know, they don't need somebody every step along the way. And it's, I find that interesting because first they're chastised for not asking for one to bring them. And now mm-hmm. it's like, okay, give us one. Oh, well, one will come when you need
one. When you need one. Yeah. And I think that's helpful for us to remember because God helps those who know their need. Mm-hmm. And he helps them in the way that they need it, not the way they necessarily want it.
Right.
And it's good for us to always be mindful of our God when we are on our knees pleading with him, you know, that he is a God who provides everything that we are in need of, not everything that we are in want of.
It's interesting that, and I think I've learned in you know, scripture tells us this, but I can look back upon things in life. God does give us the desires of our heart. The problem is that we don't understand the desires of our own heart. And sometimes we think we do. This is what I desire. It might be a good thing. I'm not saying, you know, again, we go back to, you know, I want the Lamborghini or I want the Tesla or whatever. We might think, well, I want this job, and it's a good job. It's a job that would honor Christ, and then we don't get it. It's like, well, wait a minute, God didn't give me the desire of my heart. It's very confusing. It can be very confusing, but then I think that's why hindsight is how we understand God, and we start to think as we get older, we can look back and we can say, you know what, the desires of my heart are to love Christ, to love my neighbor, and to serve him in whatever way he would have me.
Yeah.
And yet we can also look back and even think upon, you know, I've lived in a comfortable home. I've done many wonderful things in the name of Christ. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful for those things. But those are things that maybe we never could have sat down and written out and said, this is what I want to do with my life. I want to do this. I want to do this. I want to do this. Because we don't even know that they're truly what our heart desires until the Lord gives them to us.
Yeah, and just bringing this section to a close, you mentioned mercy just a moment ago. Mm-hmm. Mercy says, this is before they get to the interpreter's house. It's like the last statement before they make their way there. Well, said Mercy, as by this neglect we have an occasion ministered unto us to behold our own imperfections. So our Lord has taken occasion thereby to make manifest the riches of his grace, for he, as we see, has followed us with unasked kindness and has delivered us from their hands that were stronger than we of his mere good pleasure. Right? Mm-hmm. So you see here, Mercy understands that, okay, we didn't ask for God's help. That was a mistake. And they dwell upon it. Christiana blames herself. She remembers that dream from before, blames herself for her neglect. They are chastised by the reliever a little bit about the conductor, as you've said. Mm. And all of these things we see now, Mercy sort of like distills down, okay, the Lord's good. we didn't ask. He still provided. We were unprotected. he protected us. We were unwise, but his wisdom has shown forth that through this now, guess what? We've learned. So we've been blessed. His riches of his grace have shown us this way. There's unasked for kindness have been bestowed upon us. He's delivered us out of his mere good pleasure. Those who were stronger than us were put off by the reliever. And so you have just this wonderful sense by mercy that, okay, this is what it all means. Mm-hmm. All right. And yep, we're okay. We're gonna make it through here. And then, then the next section begins.
Right. And another section is going to begin. And I guess it's the beginning of that section, but I want to leave it there because here they've had such a turbulent time coming from the gate to the interpreter's house. That should have been this very joyous. Mm-hmm. They started out so happy. When they come to the interpreter's house, they hear people inside talking, and they're rejoicing that Christiana, or that Christian's wife, is on her own journey. Mm-hmm. And it kind of resets everything. Like, yeah, okay, and this is what God does with us. We sin, or you know, we sin, or we go through a time of despair, or we have lack of faith, and we're brought through that time, and we're reminded about the goodness of God and his protection and his love and his care, and our faith is brought to the place of, you know, we repent of our sin, or we start to trust more. And God always brings us to that place where we kind of are renewed in our Christian faith. We're renewed in our love for him and our confidence that he's going to care for us. And that's what I kind of see happening here, where Bunyan brings them to this place where even after all the bad things have just happened and the chastisement that they've just received, there's a reminder that there's a rejoicing going on that Christian's wife is also on the road to the Sorcerer's City.
Well, once again, thanks for taking the time to be with us on another episode. We are, of course, a podcast of the Reformed Forum at reformedforum.org. Do check out that website and all of the wonderful resources that you'll find there, including Reformed Academy, where there are wonderful opportunities to take classes for free. And if you have comments, questions, thoughts that we should hear, you can contact us at mail@reformedforum.org. Or if you're in the Chicagoland area visiting or living in this area and you want to come and visit with us, you can check out the church that Rob and I serve by going to westminsteropc.org. If you're not near us but still in Chicagoland, you can check out chicagoreformed.org for other OPC congregations. What's up next time, Rob?
We go with Christiana in Interpreter's House.
Into the Interpreter's House. Well, again, thanks for taking the time to be with us on another episode of Theology Simply Profound. Until next time.